Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Michael Swain. Michael Swain covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Michael, I'm actually hopeful that we have you on the show again in the next couple of weeks, because that would mean something good is happening for KU in the transfer portal, because right now only bad things are happening for them in the transfer portal.
Yeah, well, what's the old saying, right? The transfer portal giveth, the transfer portal taketh away. Yeah, it's been an interesting start for KU, hasn't it? You know, I don't know how much you could say really is super negative. I think so far, really, the biggest negative is, Floyd Badunga going in the portal. Guys like, you know, Diggy Coit, Rylan Griffin, yeah, Zach Clements, not that much of a surprise. I'd be surprised if, like, A.J. Storr doesn't end up in the portal eventually, too. Hey, guys, that's just the nature of college basketball, man. You can look across the sport right now. A lot of colleges are looking to build brand new teams, right? You know, John Calipari had the funny quote last year, right? I met with the team. There is no team. Well, I feel like there's a lot of college basketball teams, KU included, that can definitely relate with that quote right now.
How many of these players, maybe we can go individually if you would like, how many of these guys are being pushed out? How many of these guys are choosing to leave? Because one, I think, common misconception about the transfer portal is some of these guys are not making the decision. Some of these guys probably want to stay at their schools, and the coaches are saying, hey, we don't have a spot for you. We are now going to recruit over you. How much of that do you think is happening at KU versus some guys are looking for more opportunities, more NIL, whatever reason they have for transferring? What's the ratio in your mind?
Yeah, so we can run through it really quickly. You know, you look at Zach Clements, missed this year. He's going to get a medical red shirt. He wants to go play, and he's not going to play at Kansas. So he's going to go move on. He's going to go get play his senior year somewhere. He'll get the medical red shirt. He'll be able to go in and really contribute somewhere. Diggy Coit wanted probably a little bit more than KU was willing in terms of money to come back, and I think wanted some certain potential maybe guarantees of role and minutes, and that just I don't think was really something that KU was going to be super interested in, considering the fact that you got Darren Peterson coming in and you're going to try and build this roster around him. Rylan Griffin, look, things didn't work, and I think Rylan would tell you that. I think people close to Rylan would tell you that. I think people close to KU would tell you that. I don't think there's any hard feelings about that. That just didn't work, and Rylan's going to go try and find somewhere else where hopefully for him it does work. Rakese Passmore, I think, is one of the more, I wouldn't say surprising ones because it's not super surprising, but more, this is the type of player that I think 5 years ago would spend 4 years at Kansas, and by the end of it would be an All-Big 12 player. But with the way this is going this year, KU is trying to go and win a national title next year with Darren Peterson. So they're going to go all out in the transfer portal and add as many high-quality players as they can. As a result, that means Rakese was probably looking at like an eighth, maybe ninth, maybe 10th man, basically back of the rotation spot, which is where he was this year. And he knows that all of a sudden when it comes to crunch time, Bill Self is going to play eight guys, maybe seven. So that's a risk if he stayed at KU that he may not play. And all of a sudden then he's looking at 2 years left and he hasn't played basketball very much in the last 2 years of college. So you can look up and down. And I really think the one big one that kind of was a bit of a surprise for KU was Floyd Badunga. And this is one that's probably pretty nuanced. He's going to go get paid somewhere. And if I did bet, I bet he's going to go get paid at Auburn. And this is something that I think Auburn had been working with people close to him for a while. And look, that's the nature of the game, right? When Ryland Griffin went in the portal last year, it was pretty clear pretty quickly that KU had a good idea. He was going in and that he was going to end up at KU. This is the nature of the beast right now. Agents are working behind the scenes. They're working around the clock to find spots for their guys. And if there's out there, they're going to go take it. And so I think someone like Florey is going to have that opportunity. And I think with the way the season went, where you know, play well and was starting and then was taken out, that would frustrate any player. And I think that may be something that maybe frustrated him a little bit and maybe got him to be open to a move. And then those are the ones right now. And look, again, I think A.J. Storr will be on his 6th or 7th team in as many years next year. You know, he's not been someone that sticks around for 2 years, and I'm not sure that's going to happen at KU as well. So overall, you look at it, some surprise and some like Florey, but outside of that, I really can't say a lot of this has been super jaw-dropping or anything really super surprising.
I'm really surprised about Florey, and right now we're talking to Michael Swain, because I think most KU fans have said this, and I'm sure you've heard this, is Bill does really well with guys that say 3-4 years and buy into the system. I mean, that's what Florey is. When you get a big that's a former McDonald's All-American who clearly was not a one-and-done player, you're hoping that you can keep him until he's a junior, and then that's a guy that turns out to be a first-team All-Big 12 guy and a guy that turns into an NBA player. Like, this is the kind of Jayhawk that they used to keep for 3-4 years and would go on to great success. And now after 1 year, he's not going to go do that with down in the SEC with Bruce Pearl?
Yeah, and you're right. And so what's maybe – I think some KU fans may be frustrated is the fact that I think the messaging from Florey himself and people close to him when he showed up to KU was, hey, we know this is not going to be a you show up, you play 30 minutes a game, and you go. It was very much he's going to show up, going to develop under, you know, Hunter for a year and play. And guys, he played the most minutes any freshman center has played since Cliff Alexander, right? He played more than I think people thought going into the year. And I think that for him, just I think the way that things went this year, and I don't think it was necessarily a super rosy locker room environment as well as the season progressed. And I think that can rub off on people and maybe make you think, do I really want to be here? And I think that's a part of what happened in addition to the opportunity to make a substantial sum of money. So you're right. He is the type of player, I think Rickey's Passmore are the types of players that in the previous era or maybe most recent era before this one, right? They're the type of guys that you could see, you know, going to KU having a lot of success, right? I think in an ideal world, Florey would return, plays, you know, 28, 30 minutes a game, probably goes to the NBA because he's that athletic. And if he can maybe develop some skill around the basket a little bit more, you know, he would be someone that could go in the first round. So it is a different era. And I think there are going to be some big picture looks done inside of programs of how do you recruit? Are you going to recruit to develop? That's a risk right now, guys, because there's a good chance you're developing them for someone else, or they're not even going to develop at your school because they're not going to get the chance. Or do you go and recruit cheap end of roster players who are maybe local and will be willing to stick around and maybe not play a bunch, but practice, get to live the life that you can get being a power four high major college basketball player. So I think how schools recruit to fill out rosters is going to be really interesting, especially on the high school front, because times have changed and it's just very, very different right now.
Michael, can you think of many teams in the last 10 to 15 years that their plan was to build around a freshman point guard? Like, I'm trying to think of the teams. Like, we're talking like John Wall in Kentucky. We're talking about Trae Young at Oklahoma. Like, what you're telling me KU's plan is for next season, that is a very, very unique plan that not many teams do.
No, it's not. And you got to go, I think, as if you want to find precedent for freshmen doing things, right, you got to go to Cal Perry at Kentucky, right? De'Aaron Fox, that team. And obviously he had Malik Monk there with him. But it's been done before. But I think what you're going to see KU try and do is fill the roster with experienced players around De'Aaron who have been around the block. And when you do get into those bright light situations, it's not all on De'Aaron, especially early in something like Big 12 play. Before he maybe get some of that crucial experience in some of those big road environments. And what KU's doing, obviously, you know, it's going to be a risk. You're giving the keys to a freshman. And regardless of what you think of said freshman and how good you think he is, I think he's a stud. Like, I think he will be a top 2 pick in the draft next year. But there's still some inherent risk. And I think what KU's going to try and do in the portal is to put experienced players around Peterson so that not everything falls on him. And he is not a single point of failure for the team where he can propel the team forward and be the guy that leads, but I think isn't going to have to face all that pressure of, oh man, if Darren's not on tonight, KU's kind of screwed. So the roster building for this year is so fascinating, especially considering the fact that it's a huge roster rebuild. You're losing, you know what, all five starters, top two bench guys. Like, it's going to be a brand new team, and this is Bill Self's chance to build the ideal roster around Darren Peterson. Will he be able to do it? That's the coverage we're trying to provide right now, and it's way too early to say. So that part's going to be interesting to track.
Michael, last thing here, and we appreciate your time. You obviously have tracked it much more than I have. I'm looking at Keyshawn Hall that played at UCF. I mean, that just feels like a KU player. If you want to put experience around Darren Peterson and a guy that can go get you a bucket, he seems like he makes a lot of sense for me. The big from Arizona, Visar, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, the big kid, that feels like for them. I mean, KU's now got some NIL money to spend. They're going to swing big in the portal, and they'll probably hit on a couple of these kids because they're Kansas.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the Keyshawn Hall fit. I know we've talked about it on our VIP message board. There are some concerns about, you know, you look at AJ Store and going to multiple teams. But look, Keyshawn Hall rebounds, and he is really good at getting to the rim and attacking. And generally, is a pretty somewhat efficient player. You can look at the comparison to Jalen Wilson his senior year. The only real difference is that Jalen's assist rate is higher and Keyshawn's free throw rate is higher. So in terms of a profile, he fits that bill, and I think that's the type of guy you want to have at the four in this day in college basketball. The center spot's going to be fascinating. There are already some names that, you know, we're tracking here. A kid from Florida State that just went in today is probably going to be worth watching. But, yeah, it's going to be fascinating, right? There are so many minutes available, so many spots to fill, and I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg of the players that are going to go in. We still got 3 weeks. I think April 22nd, if I remember right, is when the portal closes. So long, long way to go. And as we've seen year in and year out, guys will go in the portal April 20th. So just because a guy's not in the portal or you don't think you like what it looks like today, man, tomorrow's a new day and next week's a new week. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen. So it's going to be really, really interesting to track.
That is Michael Swain joining us on the show today. He is with 24/7 Sports. Always great to catch up with him and get the latest on the Kansas Jayhawks. Michael, man, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.